Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk production and distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Learn more about KPP's Balanced Income Program, using their time-tested ability to identify undervalued assets. They created a strategy designed to accommodate investors who have a lower risk tolerance, but still desire some exposure to the potential growth of the stock market. Find out more about it when you're ready on investtalk.com. Just click on the Investments tab. End of commercial. And now today's Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Invest Talk. It is October 19th, 2016. And of course, we're here to try to answer your questions, bring you some good information, minus the hype. I don't like hype. And share some ideas that maybe will broaden your view of the financial world. Today, with the stock market looking more vulnerable than vigorous, investors may be wondering what to do in preparation for a correction or a bear market. We don't know if one's going to happen. I'm not predicting that. No one can predict it. Well, let me rephrase that. I will guarantee you there will be a correction in a bear market, but no one can tell you when. It's impossible. Keeping your wits when stocks come unglued. That's going to be our main talking point today, and I want to hear about your invest experience as well. This morning in my market commentary, which I write every Monday, Wednesday, Friday on to the website, I talked about the housing market. We had the first look at September housing numbers in the housing starts report. It was down 9%. That's huge from August. Down 11.9% from a year ago. Now, that number is pretty frightening. And it's very disappointing. But that's not a leading economic indicator. That's a lagging economic indicator. The housing permits, which is a leading economic indicator, was up a huge 6.3%. It is very odd to have permits up so strongly while housing starts down so strongly. That's very unusual. But if you looked at the numbers that got into them a little bit, you'll see that the multi-housing new starts was down 39%. But the single-family home starts were up 8.1%. So it's an interesting dichotomy in the report today. It wasn't nearly as bad as the top-line number suggested. Yeah, so it wasn't a good month. It wasn't a good month for housing starts. Know how you like look at it. But 1 month doesn't mean a lot. And it does signal a slowdown, but not nearly as significant as the report top line number suggested. Now, do you have questions about the housing market? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. We turn now to our 24-hour listen line. Let's get to the Q&A portion of the program going. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hello, hi, Justin. Hello, Steve. Raphael from Jersey. I had a question about growth stocks. I was wondering, I know what you guys always say to look for in growing revenues and ROI, ROE, stuff like that. Look at the five-year PEs, try to get the stocks in some sort of a lower range of the PE, forward PE and things like this. However, there's some stocks out there that they just don't come down to those levels. And I was wondering when do you break your traditional method to jump on some of these really rock solid high performers. Obviously, the first one that comes to mind is Amazon, but there are many like that. All right, thank you guys. I love the show. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, stocks like Amazon, there's screamers. The ones that Tesla, Netflix, they've been screaming up a lot, and they never come down to a good fair value. Well, I'm not saying you never buy those. I'm not suggesting that you never buy them. I'm suggesting that I want you to be fully aware that you're buying very overvalued stocks. And the reason why they're overvalued is they're growing very strong. And as soon as they stop growing like that, they'll come down to normal relationships of price to earnings, return on equity, and all those other numbers will start to normalize. And that usually means the stock will fall. So it doesn't mean you can't buy them, you can't get involved with them, just don't make them dominant in your portfolio, because you'll be very happy for a while and then you'll get crushed. You know, it's a matter of understand. You can say, well, for a while, these have now, for years or several years, these have not come down to their proper value. I've heard this before in my long history of investing. And I'll tell you this. Yeah, it could be several years, a number of years, that these things are way overvalued. But at some point, they'll come back to value. They'll come back to normalization. But it could be years. Okay? But when they have their first, these high growth names, when they have their first disappointing growth quarter, the stock will get crushed. And if you can live with that, that's fine. So just don't, you know, so I'm not saying don't buy these. I'm just saying make sure you buy them with your eyes wide open, understanding what you're buying. And if you want to fill your portfolio full of these, just make sure you are okay with your portfolio coming down and being crushed at some point. Because you'll never get the timing right. Well, I'll just get out before that happens. Nah, that usually doesn't happen that way. It's a good question, though. Appreciate it. Anthony in Hayward. How you doing, Anthony?
Good. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. I don't have a high-flying or exciting stock, but CVS, Charlie Victor Sam, the pharmacy store.
Yes.
And I did see this on TV. Surprisingly, it was not on my watch list, and I go to it quite a bit. And I was wondering, looking at the numbers, if it's a good value play.
It kind of is a pretty good value play at this point. CVS, everybody, Health Corporation, everybody knows they're, you know, they have 9,655 pharmacies and drugstores. Everybody knows they're 49 out of the 50 states, and Puerto Rico and Brazil. And the reason why, you know, Anthony, I think it's a pretty good value, even though the PE right now is 16, which is, you know, the market is, you know, the long-term market PE is 15. The reason why I say that's a pretty good value is because its five-year range is 14 to 23, and next year it's going to make $6.53. So that means that PE is going to come down a little bit to maybe 15, 14, 15, right at the low range. Good return on equity, good cash flow, pays a decent dividend. Sales are growing 18-19% the last two quarters. So, yes, Anthony, I think this is a pretty good value play. And it certainly looks like, even though it had a bad day today, down, 1%? It certainly looks like right around 85, 86 is where it wants to hold. So, and it's at 86.40 today. So, Anthony, I kind of like it.
So would this be a good buy point?
Yes.
And this is going to be one of my long, you know, core holdings.
Right.
Or should I wait for more of a pullback?
I don't think you're going to get much more of a pullback, but I might wait for it to start to trickle up for you from this level. I don't know if I'd buy it right today or tomorrow or the next day. I'd like to see some little bit of strength come into it before you jump into it. But this looks like a good, strong support right where it is.
Okay, super.
Okay.
Well, hey, thank you so much. Hey, appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Anthony. That's CVS, everybody. CVS Health Corp. You know we're emotional creatures. We are. So what's the secret to keeping your wits about you when stocks come unglued? How do you keep calm? That's going to be one of our talking points today. I also want to discuss the Bayes book came out today. Bayes book. Do you know what the Bayes book is? Well, if you don't, I'm going to explain it to you. It comes out every month. It's produced by the Fed. Also, there was an article about China. You know, China's economy. I want to discuss that a little bit if I can. And something we didn't get to yesterday, but I do want to get to it. We need a good kind of inflation. What is a good kind of inflation? What kind of inflation am I talking about? We don't have it. We just don't. And yesterday I was going to talk about markets failing daily rallies. Did you notice it did it again today? It's been doing it quite often. Did it again today. The market today was up 41 points on the Dow, 3 points on the NASDAQ, and 5 points on the S&P. But it was much better than that, double that during the day. So why can't it rally toward the end of the day? Until I see that happening, I'm not very confident about this market. I need to see it rallying toward the end of the day with people excited about being in the market, want to be in it, and want to be in it again tomorrow. You know, but the, you know, but we're not seeing it. We're seeing a rally in the morning and kind of trickles down and then comes back up, trickles down some more, and just doesn't want to get started. Just doesn't. I'm glad you're with us today. Here's 100% certainty for 2017. There will be change, maybe radical change. So we invite you to our next conference, which is designed to help respond to these changes, how to prosper in a year of change 2017. And that's going to be Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, November 12th in San Jose. Here's what we'll focus on during that three-hour session. We will show you how global politics can disrupt markets, show you how you understand the impact of shifting central bank policy, and explain why you should transition from growth stocks to value stocks, growth investing to value investing. You can sign up for it right now on investtalk.com. How do you keep your wits when the stock market comes unglued? The simplest and easiest way is to never get to a point where you overinvest. Overinvest means taking more risk than you're comfortable with, being more exposed to the market than you're comfortable. Because the market will go up and down. Always has, always will. Try to remember when it really collapsed in 2008, about 45%. It made it all back in 2009. Now, usually it doesn't make it back that fast, but it has always recovered. So the first thing for you to keep your wits about you during a market crash is be prepared already for it. Be mentally prepared for it by not having that more exposure to the market than you're comfortable with. And that's the difficult part. Well, how do I know how much I'm comfortable with? Well, this is how you do it. Well, you can take our risk test, you know, our risk questionnaire. That helps. And it asks the same questions I'm going to ask you right now. Are you comfortable with your market, with the market falling 20% without panicking out? Yes or no? Are you comfortable with the market falling 30%? 40%? If the market falls 30% and then goes up 20%, are you comfortable with that? That's the kind of questions it asks, our risk questionnaire. And it tries to determine what kind of loss that you can accept. Once we get to that point, then you can develop a portfolio that will stay within the range of the losses that you can accept comfortably. That's all. That's it. Now, there's other things you can do. But most of the things that people do will not be successful. Like, well, I'll just go to cash right now, and I'll just wait till the market corrects, and then I'll buy it all back. For some reason, people don't buy it all back. Now, does that mean you should not go to cash? No. Again, you got to be comfortable. But if you're going to move some of your assets to cash, you need to make some rules. I'm going to invest back into the market. If the market falls 5%, I'm going to put 10% of my cash back in. If it falls 10%, I'll put 20% of my cash back in. Write these rules down and then follow it. Just do it. Just do it. And I'm okay with that. But most people just wait and wait and wait, and then they wait till it recovers because they don't believe it. And then they wait a little longer, and then it's recovered all the way back, and they buy high and sell. They buy high and sell low. Just not the way to do it. I'm Steve Peasley, and no matter what your money question is, I'm here for you. It's not all stocks and bonds, you know. Should you have money in the market after retirement? Do I need an estate plan? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. That's our 24 hours a day, 7 days a week listener line. 888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Harry in Ohio. How you doing, Harry?
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
Sure. I got the question regarding the mutual fund, FTABX. It's a Fidelity Municipal Bond Fund.
Okay. FTD as in dog, A?
No, F as Frank, T as Tom, and B as boy, and A as apple. X says X-ray.
Yeah, the reason why I'm questioning is because it doesn't seem to want to come up on Morningstar. It doesn't come up on any of my software with that symbol. So I don't understand why not, because Morningstar has all the mutual funds. Is a short-term bond fund? Is it a long-term bond fund? Do you know what the duration is?
It's about 5 to 6 years.
Okay.
Average.
Okay, and it tells you the type of bonds you're buying. Are they junk bonds? Are they high quality, investment grade, foreign bonds?
It's a municipal bond
okay.
fund.
Okay.
Tax-free municipal bond fund.
So that's a double tax-free, meaning you don't have to pay any state income tax on the money, and you don't have to pay any federal income tax on that money. And usually they pay less yield because of that, but when it's double tax-free, you don't mind the less yield because you're not paying taxes. Yeah, so that's
right.
a good thing. And you're 5 to 6 years, meaning you're a bit longer than I would want, because interest rates are going to rise within that period of time, and the value of that bond fund will go down, but it won't go down that much because it's not that long out there. You know, I go out about 4 years of my bond ladder in my balanced income fund, but 5 to 6 years is not bad. So I don't have a problem with you owning this. I don't think it's a bad idea at all. Okay?
Oh, okay. That's
Harry. Appreciate it. And probably maybe why.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Harry. Thank you. It might not be coming up because if it's a double tax-free bond in Ohio, that means it's very small because it's only for Ohio. And this is bonds in Ohio municipal bonds. So maybe that's it. But still, I would think it would show up. I'm not sure why it's not. It's just unusual. The Bayes book, everybody. The Bayes book comes out every month. It is put out by the Federal Reserve. And this one came out October 7th. And it's supposed to look at, like, current conditions, anecdotal information for current conditions of the economy in the 12 districts. The Federal Reserve has 12 districts in the United States. And 12 or 9? I don't remember. They look at each of the districts and they report in and they tell one of the Federal Reserve presidents, and he writes up the Bayes book with everybody's input. And they said that New York was the only area that has no growth. New York Federal Reserve District had no growth. Otherwise, the economy everywhere else is expanding at a steady pace. Steady. Pace. Now we know that GDP is like 1.5 or so. That's what we've been seeing lately. They cite a few of the issues that are facing our economy. The strong dollar, they said, is retarding exports. The stronger our dollar is, the harder it is for companies to export products because it costs too much. And so remember, we're in a currency war. I'm going to talk about that at the conference, by the way, the currency war. So you'll hear more than you probably want to hear about it. But I want to describe to you what it is, and we are in a currency war, and our dollar is getting strong, or is got stronger since May, and it's hurting the exports. It also said there was an uptick in retail spending. Well, we saw that. My biggest complain about the uptick in resale spending. Shouldn't it be more than an uptick if we have a very low unemployment rate? But it's not. Improved demand for services, a growing real estate market, stability in the oil and gas sector. Those are the kind of statements they were making. That's the Bayes book. Let's talk to Ray in Durante. How you doing, Ray?
Hello, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
I have a question. I need your opinion on symbol SWHC, Smith & Wesson.
Okay. Yeah, that's the gun maker. Mm-hmm. Do you want to buy it or?
Yes, I want to buy it.
Okay. It's had a pretty good move this year. It was trading about a little below $18 a share back in December or so, and today it's at 26. But it did get as high as 30. Manufactures firearms. Everybody knows that. A good steady grower. The earnings are going to grow 36% this year, and then pretty much flat next year. So the earnings are going to be $2.48. Sales growth has picked up. Why? Why has sales growth picked up? Well, I think Hillary getting everybody's assuming Hillary's going to win, and she's going to be anti-gun. So you might have a continued growth in this stock because of that feeling. If Hillary wins, there will be lots of sales for Smith & Wesson. If she doesn't, there'll be less. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're open to your money questions and comments. 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is InvestTalk.
We thank you for subscribing to the podcast. In case we haven't mentioned it, KPP Financial serves clients all across the U.S. If you'd like to have Steve review your retirement portfolio personally, you'll be ahead of the game. Steve carves out a few hours each month to meet with our podcast subscribers on Skype or telephone. It can be a very educational hour. To set up a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Pretty new listener to your podcast, and just want to say I love the fact you guys do Q&A because I think it's really important for the average listener to hear other average listener questions and hear your expert advice on breaking it down. Helps me learn a lot better. So anyway, keep that up. Hey, I'm a young man, 24 years old, just getting into investing, and I've got a lot of coworkers that are investing in real estate through the multifamily house loan program called the FHA. I don't own any real estate currently, but I've got about $10,000 to $20,000 of money that I can play around with over the next few months. And after listening to your show, the way you talk about gold companies has really gotten me interested in where you think I should invest my money as a new investor. Should I go with a Roth IRA in gold prices and just kind of play around with that for, you know, the next few months and then look into real estate, you know, maybe a year or two down the line? Or should I jump into real estate and then worry about my Roth in about a year or two? Either way, let me know. I look forward to hearing your answer. Thank you.
Well, real estate is very local. If I would love to know where you are, and that would help me decide, you know, what to tell you about real estate. Most of the country, real estate is kind of boring as far as an investment. You invest it for, you know, return on your invested dollars, and therefore you're looking at rents. If you're investing in Southern California or San Jose area, you know, now you're investing for capital appreciation. Rents, you know, pretty small part of the whole package, but you also got lots of volatility. So it depends. Are you buying real estate for the house that you live in or for an investment? At 24, I think it should take a multi-prong approach, and I would definitely open up a Roth, by the way, at age 24. And I wouldn't just buy gold. You don't buy just one asset. You never buy just one asset class like gold, because even though I might think it might go up, I'm not a big gold person, by the way, just so to warn you. I think it's going to go up right now because of different fundamentals that are pushing on it. But as buying a one asset class investment, that's high, high speculation and not the proper way to invest in the stock market. Yes, you can have gold as a portion. You can have different high-risk things as part of your portfolio. But you really should invest in the overall market, not just gold. Now, you could do that by buying a number of different companies, some blue chip, some core holdings, some more speculative. Your gold would be a speculative part of a portfolio. You can buy ETFs that give you that spread in the various different sectors, you know, that kind of thing. But I would definitely open up a Roth. I would definitely, you know, invest in more than one sector, and I would save up to invest in property. I like the diversification. That's how I did it, by the way. You know, I started off, I bought my first stock when I was 21, first three stocks, about three at a time. And at 22, I bought my first piece of property, which was really small piece of property. But I still bought, that was the first part. So I started with this multi-prong approach. We didn't have IRAs and 401ks back when I started. They didn't exist. Good question. Thank you. Appreciate it. Now, today there was a news out from Beijing. It said that Beijing's drifting economy steadied in the third quarter, expanding 6.7% from the year earlier. 6.7. They said that there was because of a mix of easy credit and hot property market. Now, didn't we have an implosion of the property market once already in China? Well, that's going to happen again because that's really hot again. Now, all this, they did this through stimulus. Okay, the China did this. They did not address their deeper problems. Their deeper problems being overcapacity in their industrial area and corporate debt. Huge debt. They have huge debt there, much more than everybody thinks. And the overcapacity, you can see that because they try to keep dumping steel or aluminum all over the world. They do it because they want to keep their factories going, even though the factories are losing money. They're not addressing the underlying problem. Maybe they don't realize how a free economic system is supposed to work. I know they do, but they don't want it to let it work because they're afraid of shrinkage in their economic growth. Don't think they're the only ones. Aren't we afraid of that too? We are. But you can't continue to push on the debt. See, one of the issues I have here in the United States is, isn't now everybody's not talking about QE. We're not going to do QE anymore. Okay. Now they're talking about, when the new president comes in, they're going to do some spending packages. Don't we have a lot of debt already? And spending means debt. How are you going to pay for that? Are you going to increase taxes? That totally destroys your effort to expand the economy, to get it growing. Because if you take taxes away from people, you take that money and you spend it on whatever you want to spend it on, infrastructure or whatever, the money that you've taken away now won't be spent in the economy. And I know all the arguments about, well, they'll take it away from the rich and all that stuff. Well, same principle applies. Rich spend money too, just different ways than we do. They invested in different ways. So, you know, we are doing the same thing. We have huge debt. China has huge debt. We don't have overcapacity. That's one thing we do. We let the overcapacity take care of itself in many, many ways. Think about fracking. Think about we let, you know, the companies go out of business routinely. Now, I know we don't always do that, but we generally do that. China doesn't really let their companies go under. It's very unusual for that to happen. And without that, Japan's the same way. They don't like letting companies go under. And they let bigger companies buy the smaller companies, and they kind of force them to buy the smaller companies. But then look at Japan's economy for the last 20 years. Stagnant. Now, that's not the only reason it's stagnant. But, you know, so I find this report interesting that they reported 6.7% growth. But these are one-trick things. You can't. Are you going to continue to have overcapacity, thinking that someday that the overcapacity would go away on its own? Don't think so. Each month, I schedule one-hour meetings with our listeners, individual sessions where we can go over your accounts and get to know you. And at least I like try to. And, you know, understand your goals for retirement and what you want to do with your money, how to make it grow. I have a new date in San Ramon. I called a good number of people today. But I have a new date in San Ramon. It's November 1st. If you're not near that office, the California office, I can meet you via Skype and telephone, which, as I said, I did a number of those today. It's pretty easy, kind of fun for me. Hopefully it's informative for you. If you'd like to set up a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. Then portfolio review.
The successful investor is not perfect, but is an independent thinker who pursues information and truth without bias and never stops learning. Asking questions is part of the process. Make the call now. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. This is Dave from Boston, a podcast listener. I'm stock. The symbol is SUPN. It's a biotech, and I know they're under pressure now, but they make money, and they just got some good news on a drug trial, and the stock is going down. I wonder if you could take a look at it and give your opinion. Thank you.
SUPN? Is that what he said? Okay. SUPN. Do you see, of course, you gave me S-P-U-N, but that's okay. S-U-P-N. Superness. That's what S-U-P-E-R-N-U-S. Superness Pharmaceuticals. Okay, it's a $1 billion company. So it's a small cap, pretty small. Develops specialty pharmaceuticals for the treatment of epilepsy, attention deficit hyperactivity disorders. Well, maybe that's maybe what I got. Maybe I got attention deficient. I'm not hyperactive though, and I'm not epileptic. That's a bad disease. Okay, so it makes money, which is always good. It's been making money for a number of years. It lost money in 2013, 2014. Made money in 2015, 16, and 17. It's going to make 68 cents this year. That's up 143% from last year. And another 100% increase next year. So it's going to make $1.37 next year. It's a $20.71 stock. Okay, that gives it, what, about an 18 forward-looking PE? Return on equity is 15. Sales have been increasing 44% the last quarter, 53% the quarter before that, 39% the quarter before that. The quarter before that, they went down 26%. So it's a pretty highly speculative stock because the sales are growing very, very fast, and so is earnings. And I would say, though, that the value is pretty good. It's not too bad for this high-growing stock. In the growth area, in the growth period of our economy coming out of the recession, this stock would be selling for $40, $50 a share because of its growing sales 40 to 50% per quarter and earnings 100% plus per year. This would be huge. So this tells you that the growth stocks are not nearly as popular as they used to be because this forward PE is around, what did I say, 18? 15? Not 15, but 18? 20? That's pretty reasonable when you're growing this fast, right? Now, it's come off its top. It was 26, 27. Now it's 20. So it's come off sharply from its top. And it's come off that 26 in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days. 7 trading days. So you can see how volatile it is. It's going to be a roller coaster ride, but it has a pretty good value. Pretty good value. Appreciate the call. Thank you. That was SUPN, Superness Pharmaceuticals, out of Rockville, Maryland. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
I am good. I appreciate your call, as always.
Yes, thanks for taking it again, as always. I just wanted to get your thoughts on TK Tankers.
Yes.
I'm thinking about getting some, and they're paying a pretty high dividend. I was just wondering if that's going to hold, you know, because I'm thinking since oil is coming back a little, I was going to maybe pick some up.
I actually think it can maintain that dividend. Dividend is 9.2%. The reason why I say that, they're going to make 76 cents this year and 77 cents next year. It's a $2.62 stock. Well, 9% of that is, what, 18, 20 cents, 21 cents?
Yep. Somewhere around there.
They're going to make 77 cents. So, yeah, they can pay that dividend. I don't see why they can't. The P.E. ratio is, what, 3? Yeah, maybe 4?
Yep.
You know, and their sales are growing, even though the growth is slowing down, because 3 quarters ago it was over 100%. Last quarter is 55, the most recent quarter, 25% growth. But still, they're making money, it's pretty cheap, the stock has been killed, and it looks like it has put in a bottom to me. Okay, it does. So I think it's a good pickup here.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Good luck with it. It's small cap, high speculative, but I think it's a good bet. I really do. And that's TNK, everybody, TK Tankers. Of course, it's a tanker company. Provides international crude oil and petroleum product transportation, and we have an oversupply in the world, but you still got to move them around, and the stock looks like it's done being beaten up to me, if it survives, which it looks like. Yeah, it's a good return on equity. I mean, not that much debt. Kind of like it. 888-99-CHARTS. Let's talk about what kind of inflation we need. We need the good kind of inflation. Good. What's not good? Well, inflation in energy is not good because that costs us more money at the pump, you know, and more money. That's not, and that's where we're getting a little bit of inflation in the last month or two was in oil and natural gas. What we need is wage inflation, food inflation, products inflation. Why do I say that? Well, we don't have it, not at all. But if we can get wage inflation in products, things that people make and do and services, if we can get that inflation going, that will drive companies to invest because they have to, they see that their products are being bought. Therefore, they're going to boost salaries. And it's a virtuous cycle we're trying to get to, which we're not there yet. And we're not getting food inflation. That's down year over year. Durable goods are down year over year. Not getting that. I mean, wages barely rose, 2.6% year over year. They barely rose. But if you, even the little inflation we had, you take that away and it raises earlier only rose 1.4% for a year. And, of course, you're gonna, there are inflation in certain areas. How about drugs and health care? I don't know about you, but my little small office, we provide health care for our employees. And health care, my renewal premium is up 22%. There's some real inflation. Not very much fun, real inflation, but there you go. But we do need good inflation. Salaries, we need them to increase. We need just overall inflation based on fundamentals of the economy, not based just on supply and demand. And it's really nowhere to be seen, really. That's what we need. You're listening to InvestTalk. Do you have the general risk level of your current retirement portfolio? I mean, do you know it? There's a way to find out. You can measure it through software created by Nobel Prize-winning designers. It's our free risk analysis tool, and you can go get a giant step toward making your portfolio fits your risk tolerance. Try it for free at InvestTalk.com.
Hi, this is Eric calling from Utah. I'm calling about ticker symbol FXI, the iShares China Large Cap ETF. I've held it for about 6 months. I've had about an 11% gain on it. And I'd like to hold it at least for a year so I don't have to pay short-term taxes on it. Anyway, wondering, I've just been seeing some reports in the news about China and it's slowing down and the possibility of them having to restack their banks, basically using a lot of government money to refill the bank coffers. And so I'm a little bit concerned about that and what might happen to this ETF. So if you can tell me what you think, if it's something I should be worried about, if I can hang on to it, or if I should just go ahead and sell it and take the gains. All right, thanks so much. Love your show. Bye.
I would worry about it. FXI is a symbol, iShares China Large Cap Exchange-Traded Funds. They can perform as corresponding to the FTSE China 25 Index. And one of the reasons I worry about it is what you pointed to it, the high debt levels of corporations there and the overcapacity that China has. Someday that has to be addressed, and that will affect these 25 biggest companies in China. And it's going to fall. I would worry about it. I just can't tell you when it will fall. I can't say, oh, it's going to fall here or then. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you this. If it breaks the 50-day moving average, which is kind of right where it is now, about 37.90, and that's where it is now, if it breaks that with any gusto again on the downside, I probably exit. And I have a feeling it is going to do that. I'm looking at a chart, everybody, and different types of indicators in a chart, and they tell me that this is going to go down. It's what it's hinting at. So I probably take the profits and run. Yeah, just short-term capital gains. Well, make sure you have some short-term capital losses you can set it against, off against. How about that? That way you don't have to pay any capital gains tax. Maybe unless you don't have any losses, then be happy. Yeah, congratulations. You want that to happen. Okay, now, have you noticed in the last few weeks that the market seemed, when it rallies, when the market has an up morning, that it fades during the day? And I've been watching this carefully and looking at it. It starts to fade right around, I don't know, now this is East Coast time, about 10:30, 11 o'clock-ish. Then around noon. And then, of course, the last hour of the trading day. Just kind of fades, each one of those periods. And that's not how a bull market acts. A bull market rallies toward the end of the day or rallies during the day. Well, we're seeing a rally in the morning. Everybody's excited about it. Then they kind of just sell off. Do you know what the S&P has done this month? It's down about 1.2%. Maybe everybody's still worried, everybody meaning all the investors out there, still worried about the elections. And maybe they're still worried about the Federal Reserve in September or December. Are they going to raise rates or not going to raise rates? Frankly, I think it's been a mistake for them not raising more rates sooner. I'm not saying fast, I'm saying sooner. I think they could have raised them at least maybe June of last year, and then another one in December that they did raise, and then maybe raise them again in June this year. Yeah, would it cause a market a short-term fall? Probably so. And then they could raise them again in December, and we'd be up to, 1% or so? Why am I so concerned about being up 1%? First of all, because that probably wouldn't change much in mortgage rates. Think about it. They increased 0.25% in December. The mortgage rates went down, not up. So it wouldn't really affect that too much. But now they have a 1% rate by the end of this year that they can use as a base to see how the economy is growing. And then if they can continue to raise them, they can get closer and closer to normalization. And if we fall into a recession, they can lower the rates to fight the recession. Right now, the rates are so low, they really can't lower. What are you going to do? My time is up for the hour. I didn't mention it earlier, but if you sign up for our next Saturday Morning Wealth Conference by midnight November 5th and take $10 off the $45 ticket price, if you sign up early. So sign up online on InvestTalk.com. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley for KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin and everybody out at KPP, I want to thank you for listening today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.